This is Lisa DeLay, and you are listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. This is Soul School Lesson 95, The Secret Places That Exist Below Words. Today, I'm so happy to bring you some of the wisdom I harvested from the gathering event hosted by On Being this February. What I will talk about today came from some of my notes and some of my subsequent reflections from the insightful conversation I witnessed between John Paul Lederach and Padraig O'Tooma. They had an insightful conversation on center stage that focused on social healing, dialogue, and listening. Both men have had many years of experience in social healing and peace work in some very war-torn areas in the world. There are so many secret places and spaces that exist below words. Sometimes we feel frustration and dismay when we hit walls or hostility, and bridges to understanding and cooperation seem broken or burned down forever. It's agonizing. It seems harder all the time to find resolutions to the issues that confound us, and we get, it seems, more polarized as time goes by. Or at least that's what we seem to hear about in the media the most. The question began on that day, how do we start impossible dialogues? Is there a path through such polarization? This event with John Paul Lederach and Padraig O'Tooma was part of Krista Tippett's undertaking called the Civil Conversations Project. And they define that as speaking together differently in order to live together differently. You can find more about the Civil Conversations Project at civilconversationsproject.org, and I will read you how they describe this project. It says, the Civil Conversations Project seeks to renew common life in a fractured and tender world. We are a conversation-based, virtues-based resource toward hospitable, trustworthy relationship with and across difference. We honor the power of asking better questions, model reframed approaches to entrenched debates, and insist that the ruptures above the radar do not tell the whole story of our time. We aspire to amplify and cross-pollinate the generative new realities that are also being woven, one word and one life at a time. And they have a very important starter guide resource that you can download for free at their website. This is a starter guide to help bridge build. It's a conversation guide to have in the groups in your local area, in your neighborhoods, to start building dialogue and creating pathways. It's a fantastic free resource, and I urge any of you to download it. It's a resource that can help people in neighborhoods get on the same page, and it's very useful for building community. Social healing often focuses on the individual, and national healing, which isn't close to the community, focuses often on politics. But the best approaches and the best options are local approaches. That's what John Paul Lederach mentioned. Even if our leaders let us down, or they don't prioritize civil conversations, ordinary people can begin the process to find paths to better outcomes. It's really incumbent upon local people to come up with local solutions. We can't wait around for our leaders to do the right thing. And we never really could. The power and insight to do this have always been there, and we should be encouraged to step out locally and affect change where we are, and not expect it to come from elsewhere. John Paul Lederach noted that conversation too often becomes people convincing others to think like they do instead of listening. Conversation is essentially about meaning, and dialogue is often about outcome. Padraig O'Tooma asked the question, are we having dialogue that holds space for trauma and pain? Oftentimes, there are misunderstandings between opposing groups, but the conversation doesn't hold the space for the trauma and the pain that have occurred. And it doesn't hold the space for both sides to come with that in mind, because there's always misunderstandings on both sides. Another thing that was brought up was that poetry is a language against which we have no defense. And I'm going to pause right here for a moment and add to this a bit and say that art also is a place that enters the gaps and can teach us and be one of those secret places and spaces where words cannot fit. Community projects that engage the arts can bring people together in new and imaginative ways, in ways that can soothe wounds or shine a light when it's needed, and can accomplish things that language cannot seem to get at. Expressions that can help a community heal or help a community have a cathartic experience or feel justice has been served can be expressions that communities can come up with to begin to move forward and embody a social healing when other ways of dialogue have failed. And they can come first sometimes before dialogue has reached its full fruition. Often these art forms can provide what words and conversations cannot provide or cannot yet provide. Things like drama, dance, theater, music. These can be incorporated locally in a spectrum of solutions that can bridge divides. Padraig also mentioned there is the ineffable that sits below words. Words and dialogue might fail us or prolong the divide, but what actions can show? Goodwill or love and service? What can we be to others? Are there ways we can show goodwill or love or service when we can't find the right words because pain has gotten in our way? And there aren't the words to bring language to what we're feeling and the complexities of the pain that we're feeling or the misunderstandings that we're feeling, but we can use gesture. The language of gesture is an embodiment of goodwill in times that need social healing. Maybe not everything has to be said, and that we don't have to construct every single bit of dialogue that's needed to be on the same page. During this event, a woman stood up and said that she came from a very strict Mennonite Amish background, her and her partner, and that her family couldn't reconcile the separation that had happened between her family's faith and where she was now with her partner. They couldn't reconcile that, and they had a lot of hurt feelings, and there was a lot of discord. But she and her partner, through the years, although it was very painful, reached out in hospitality to her family and became a safe and warm space for them to come and enjoy meals together. And even though everything wasn't solved and resolved and hammered out in words and conversations, their home has become a place of solace and a place of enjoyment and fellowship, even though everything hasn't been sorted out through dialogue. And it's that gesture that has been the place and the space below the words that has started to bring healing to those families. And maybe that can be enough, especially as a starting point, and that can last a long while. It can soothe the wounds, and it can build bridges and embrace. We have to realize the truth, Padre Gotuma says, that there is a complicated underbelly of complicity in all of us, that we are complicit in our own ways of wounding each other, unintentionally, and sometimes intentionally, because we're flawed, imperfect people. And there's often a power imbalance when two sides come to dialogue. It might not be obvious that there's a power imbalance, but there often is one. It might be that there's a traditional view that's held all the power, or a group of people that is a majority or in a power class. And the power balance has to include a comprehensive spectrum of responses That's going to be important for social healing to be possible. When we want to make dialogues and conversations happen for social healing, we almost always, if not always, talk about what can we do to talk to them? What can we do to talk to those guys, those other people? And those are the ways we tend to always, if not almost always, approach these dialogues and these conversations. This almost goes without saying, but why do we say them? Why don't we ever say us? Because we see them as opponents, as people to be won over, or as people to be subdued, or as people to be convinced. Instead of always coming from the paradigm of them and those people and the others, there has to be, for there to be a best outcome, is to not think of a them in the scenario, but to think of things as us. So we have to ask ourselves in all these scenarios that we might encounter of conversation, of meaning, of dialogue, locally, we should ask, who is them to you? Asking ourselves, asking our neighbors, who is them? There is always a them. Who is it? Should there be a them? Are we all in this together? Are we on the same page? Are we of one mind? And if there is a them, how can part of that stay or become an us? For progress, we have to think about moving past only thinking in terms of the other or the them. How can the paradigm shift to something beyond polarization without this first step of goodwill? In the step of goodwill, in this first step, we have to concede something that becomes an us. It's a olive branch, maybe, a gesture that says somehow our futures are tied up together. We are of interest to each other. It is a slow process to affect beneficial change. And usually we think that change can come quickly, but strife and opposition takes at least as long to get out of as it's taken to get into. And it takes a lifetime of working towards change and a dedication to that kind of commitment to make sure that it is seen through. We can't grow weary in doing good. We have to be working together concertedly and realize these conversations have to last through our lifetime. It won't just take a burst of anger and protest and demanding change to affect social change, especially to affect social healing and local progress. We enter conversations and dialogue with a long view in mind, in a lifetime of commitment to many conversations with people different than us, and with a patience in the whole process, says John Paul Lederach. John Paul and Padraig had many wise insights, and I urge you to find out more about them specifically. Find out about their writings, listen to their interviews on the On Being podcast, and all their information, to their websites, to their work, to their interviews on the On Being podcast, all these things I will have conveniently grouped for you in the show notes to this episode, Soul School Lesson 95. To get the weekly access pass to those show notes, support this episode and my work by going to patreon.com/sparkmymuse. Each week, you'll get show notes and bonus material for all the episodes. It's only $1 a month. And here's a preview of what's coming next week. I couldn't resist sharing a preview with you. Next week will be a continuation of more goodness that I gained from the gathering event that I was so fortunate to attend in February. My guest is someone I had lunch with one day. I know you'll enjoy our conversation and gain a lot of useful insights. He is an 18-time international best-selling author and entrepreneur who is a legend in consistency in the blogosphere, the incomparable and very generous Seth Godin. Make sure you're subscribed to this podcast so you don't miss out. And lastly, there is one more big thing I'm excited to share with you today. I'm so excited about this. I am introducing Soul School courses. To find more about what's going on, you need to get on the Soul School update list. You just go to sparkmymuse.com, the official website of this podcast, and sign up for those updates. A mini course will be offered in May, and you can apply for this course in April. It'll be kept to a very reasonable, under $15 cost. Just about anybody can afford this. And the topic will be on homecoming as it pertains to Henri Nouwen's work, The Inner Voice of Love, and some of his other work. It gives us remarkable insights on self-trust and being deeply rooted in the love of the divine. It's going to be amazing. If you sign up for the Soul School update list, you will automatically save 10% on the mini course. So go to sparkmymuse.com. In addition to that discount, if you want to save even more, be a regular supporter of Spark My Muse at the $5 level a month, and you'll get discounts on all the courses I offer from now on. Plus, your support keeps this podcast running, and you'll get weekly bonus material for each episode. That's all for today. I thank you so much for listening and being part of the Spark My Muse family. I hope to hear from you as you sign up for the list. See you next Wednesday.